It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley pulled off a major upset in yesterday's Democratic primary for governor. He edged out Madison State Representative and Democratic Socialist Francesca Hong. Polls had shown Hong leading the field for months.
Crawley now faces Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany. President Trump endorsed Tiffany in January, virtually clearing the primary field.
We turn now to WPR's politics team to break down these results and the outcomes of other races last night and what to expect headed into the midterm elections in November. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, and Rich Kramer is here, WPR reporter in Eau Claire. Sean and Rich, thanks for being here.
Hey, Kate, thanks for having us.
Sean, starting with you, this Democratic primary for governor, national attention on this race, neck and neck between Hong and Crawley all night. Crawley dropping out of the race, got back in less than a month ago. A remarkable end to this chaotic primary. How did we get this to this result?
Yeah, this has got to be one of the wildest primaries I think that most people have ever seen in Wisconsin. Maybe the wildest one that we ever get a chance to cover. And it's only fitting that it ends this way with David Crawley, who had dropped out of the race for governor about a month ago, didn't get back in until July 18th, comes back and wins in an election that saw Hong polling ahead of him by, you know, between 20 and 30 points in just recent weeks. So kind of one shocking event after another over the last month, right on down to election night when David Crawley pulled off the improbable.
What impact did it have in those final weeks, having Governor Evers by his side and that endorsement?
I think you have to say it was enormous, because David Crawley without Tony Evers was polling at 3% in Marquette polls. And we did just kind of like lay out the reasons that polls in primaries are flawed. You know, they're not exactly accurate lately. But David Crawley saw enough that he decided in July, I can't win this race. And that was back when Governor Tony Evers had not endorsed. He gets back in, Evers is behind him, his fundraising takes off. And, you know, I think just anecdotally, you saw a lot of Democrats who had been wondering, which of these candidates do I choose? Where are the lanes in this race? It seems like Evers' endorsement kind of got everybody on the same page who was not supporting Francesca Hong. And they all supported, seemingly, David Crawley. I mean, you did see some votes come in for other candidates, Kelder Royce, Joel Brennan, but Crawley really dominated after literally being out of the race on July 8th.
Okay, Rich, you were at Tom Tiffany's election night party in Heartland. His campaign was already attacking Hong as too extreme. Does Crawley's victory change that strategy?
It does. And honestly, it seemed like it caught Congressman Tiffany and his supporters last night by surprise. I overheard a lot of people, you know, looking at their phones and just remarking on how close the race between Crawley and Hong was. And when Tiffany got up on the stage and talked to supporters, and when he talked to reporters afterwards, it seemed like he wasn't really sure what to say. Obviously, the race wasn't called at that point. This was at like 10 o'clock at night. But what we heard was, it doesn't matter which Democrat, you know, I face. But he also was saying things like, well, Crawley didn't disavow these things that Francesca Hong had said on social media. So he was still kind of attacking Hong, but using Crawley as a proxy, saying that, well, you know, him not disavowing what she said means he's just as liberal or as radical as he would put it. So it was really, really interesting watching the reactions in Heartland last night.
What we do know is primary voters were clearly quite divided. Sean, will Democrats be able to unite against Tom Tiffany now that the primary is over?
I think the open question when it comes to that is whether Francesca Hong brought a different kind of voter into this primary. You know, we talk a lot about how President Donald Trump has brought a different kind of voter into Republican politics. Sometimes young people who don't typically or didn't typically vote in elections until Donald Trump got on the scene, and maybe don't vote in elections when Donald Trump is not on the ballot. Hmm. So Francesca Hong shares not a lot of politics with Donald Trump, but she is kind of a movement candidate in that way, where you did see her exciting people who are very happy to identify as Democratic Socialists, which is not something that the mainstream Democratic Party typically embraces. So will they come around for David Crowley? I don't know. Will other Democrats who are, you know, more traditional Democrats but liked what Hong was presenting, will they come around for David Crowley when the choice is between him and Republican Tom Tiffany, a Trump-aligned candidate in a midterm election? Yeah, I think the majority of them will come along.
I know, you know, Rich and Sean, you two keep a close eye on the Bao and the Wao counties. You know, Hong won the Bao counties, Brown, Outagamie, and Winnebago, lost the Wao counties. Rich, what can we gather from those results?
Well, one thing that I was hearing last night was that, you know, of course, Crowley's going to do well in southeastern Wisconsin. So there's that. Honestly, I would toss that question over to Sean, because he's followed Bao and Wao far longer than I have.
True. That
so,
is true.
What do you
Sean?
Think, Sean?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the short answer is that while they rhyme, Wao is just a bit more conservative than Bao. And in a race where Crowley was presenting himself as sort of the mainstream candidate and was potentially benefiting from some of the attacks that Republicans were throwing at Hong, that probably helped him in the Wao counties of suburban Milwaukee, some of which, you know, Democrats, I guess you probably say all three of which Democrats are not going to win in November. You know, they aspire to win Outagamie, but that's a tough one for them. So I think that probably is what it boils down to, is that, you know, we watch both regions, they rhyme, but Wao is a little more conservative.
All right. Sean Johnson here, WPR Capital Bureau Chief, Rich Kramer, Eau Claire-based WPR reporter, breaking down yesterday's partisan primary election. Okay, Rich, other races. Outgoing Representative Tiffany's 7th Congressional District House seat. 5 GOP candidates, 3 Democrats vied for the party's nomination. What stands out in this Michael Alfonso election night win?
Well, what stands out is the margins that Alfonso won by. So he was up against the two closest Republican competitors were Kevin Hermaning of Mosinee and Jesse Eben of Stanley. And, you know, Michael Alfonso, for those that don't know, is the son-in-law of U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy. Sean Duffy also held the 7th District seat before Tiffany. So anyway, Alfonso, commanding win. And there was rumblings during the primary that, well, some of the conservatives didn't like the idea that that Alfonso was handpicked, essentially, and getting all this backing from the White House, et cetera. But endorsement from President Trump seemed to really make a big difference there. So it was not a close contest in the end.
Okay, moving, Sean, to 3rd Congressional District, we see Democrat Rebecca Cook winning the nomination. You know, this is basically her third attempt here to unseat incumbent Republican Derek Van Orden. What do you see here?
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty commanding victory over Emily Burge, who had some progressive support for sure, but Rebecca Cook just had the infrastructure of the National Democratic Party on her side and also had some progressive bona fides. I mean, like you had Bernie Sanders come in and endorse her. You know, Bernie Sanders had a chance to say, we need a more liberal alternative. He said that Rebecca Cook's my candidate and she can win. So that's sort of, it makes it hard to run from her left, or harder anyway, when she has somebody like Bernie on her side. And also she had a ton of money. Rebecca Cook has been running for office for a while now. She knows how to raise money. And she has outraised Derek Van Orden in this election. And I think she will be able to, I'm not saying outraise Van Orden going forward, but certainly you're going to see tons of money pouring into that race one of a handful in the country that are viewed as competitive.
She lost by less than 3 percentage points in 2024. So it is understandable then that you see those that national money and attention on this race.
And it's a Trump midterm here, too. So the circumstances are going to be different than in 2024 when Trump is on the ballot. He's not on the ballot this time. His approval rating is low. And so she's going to look to capitalize on that and tie Van Orden to the president.
OK, finally, here, as we head down to the southeastern corner of our state, four Democrats ran for the nomination to face Republican Brian Steil in November. What stands out with this race, Rich? We have a political newcomer in Mitchell Berman.
Yeah, Berman, he beat, according to the unofficial results, he beat the three other challengers by more than 20 percentage points. So that is interesting. What's also interesting about the first district is that on paper, it's a competitive district, but Brian Steil has been very strong, has easily won re-election multiple times, no matter how much Democrats have thrown at it. And for what it's worth, Brian Steil, last I checked, I think he had $3, $4, maybe $5 million cash on hand. Those numbers have probably changed since then, but he is a prolific fundraiser, and Republicans are keen on keeping him in that seat.
Sean, quickly here as we wrap up, turnout yesterday, what did you see in the numbers with turnout?
You know, I haven't studied it as much as I would like to, but I believe what you saw is it was up a little bit from 2018, the last time we had a big competitive Democratic primary for governor. And so what that could mean is that the, you know, the interest in the race brought in by Governor Tony Evers potentially brought in new voters that, you know, we're previously planning on sitting this one out. You know, we just know that, like, what we ended up with in the results is a lot different than what we were expecting in the polls just a week or two ago.
Well, Sean and Rich, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kate.
Sean Johnson, WPR's Capital Bureau Chief, Rich Kramer, WPR reporter based out of Eau Claire. For more reporting on the primary election, head to WPR.org.